The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? Pretty damn sportsy. Fantasy football, little Astros. Had Brett McMurphy on to talk a little college football. One thing we didn't really have time to ask him, but I'm kind of guessing maybe Oklahoma, the way he was saying it, of the teams that are in the top 10 playing that first weekend, who's most likely to lose?
I don't know if he's saying that. I think he's saying, well, maybe that's
it,
part
yeah,
of it.
It was kind of hard to tell from that answer.
I mean, remember Oklahoma? They've got the Big 12 schedule. They've also
Ohio State.
UH is not their toughest non-conference game. So
no, it's not even close.
They've got a game against Ohio State that's going to be massive. So I don't know if he's necessarily saying that, but I mean, if he thinks that they're going to struggle, then obviously he thinks that UH has a puncher's chance.
That was an interesting stat about them, and I kind of went back and looked, and there's a lot of years they were pretty similar teams coming off big years, quarterbacks back, and they got off to a slow start, and then just kind of they'd make a middle of the season, they'd get good again, and then they'd fall off again at the end. So, speaking, we have some breaking news here. The University of Houston will officially announce Thursday that Tillman Fertitta has donated $20 million to the school's basketball arena renovation project.
Ooh.
The arena will be named in honor of Fertitta.
Okay.
And Fertitta Center is what is being considered.
All right.
$20 million, yeah, you can put your name on the thing.
Get your name on it.
It's a $60 million renovation. That is something that has to be done. That Hoffines is just a pit. And they don't need to. This is one thing that kind of drives me nuts. It's like when the Rockets wanted a new arena in Toyota. You didn't really need to tear down what is now Lakewood. You had a nice setup there that you could have easily renovated and turned it into what you wanted to. But okay, they wanted a new arena. Hoffines just needs to be completely renovated and cleaned up. It's the way it's built. There's not a bad seat in the place. It really is a good viewing arena. It's just got no suites. It's crappy inside. You could easily jazz that sucker up. So for $60 million, and they need to if they want to try to be serious players. I mean, football's the thing, but you can't have teams, you can't have Kansas and Texas going in there playing in that pit the way it is if you're trying to get in that conference. So good for them that they're doing it. Good for him putting up the money. Fertitta Center.
Is there a timeline with that? Or?
I'm not exactly sure. I know that I think they had to finalize the plans first. So I don't know if it's this year or next that they're going to have to be displaced. John, do you know? It's probably next. They probably have to play this year.
I don't know.
Okay. Where would they play?
Oh, I'm guessing Toyota Center, maybe play games over at TSU. I'm sure they'll bounce around a little bit, play your big opponents at Toyota Center. Kind of like the football team had to do. They had to bounce around for a year. According to sportsbook.ag, first NFL coach to be fired. Care to guess the odds? Actually, I'm a little surprised at the one at the top. Not so surprised by number two.
I would guess. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go with Joe Philbin.
He's already fired.
Oh, yeah, he's already fired, huh?
Your 5-1 favorite, Jim Caldwell.
Hmm.
I'm a little surprised by that.
That does surprise me.
Right ahead of Mike McCoy. 5.5-1, which I could see.
What about Jeff Fisher?
Jeff Fisher, third favorite, 7.5-1.
What about Gus Bradley?
Fourth
favorite. I know
favorite,
he's a favorite for you.
Fourth favorite, 13-1. I actually like that at 13-1. Although they love him. That guy could do almost anything. He could get naked pictures with a baby and he wouldn't get fired.
Let me go with a couple of what may be considered long shots, but I don't think it's that ridiculous. Let's go with Sean Payton.
I got to scroll way down here.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe surprised.
250-1.
Okay. 250 to 1?
No, excuse me, 25-1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah, they've got the. You know how they do this? It drives me nuts.
Jay Gruden,
25-1.
Rex Ryan?
16-1.
Hugh Jackson?
30-1.
That's pretty good, considering the squad he's got. I mean, I could see him going pretty quick.
The longest shots on the board.
Bill Belichick,
500. Pete Carroll, 300.
Bruce Arians, probably 200. Safe.
Yeah. Ron Rivera, 100. Mike Zimmer, 100.
Mike McCarthy.
Mike Tomlin, 100. Mike McCarthy, 80-1. Gary Kubiak, 100.
What about Marvin Lewis? Although he wouldn't be the first to
40.
Go. 40. He wouldn't be the first. He might go, but he wouldn't be the first to go.
You've missed a name, and you would be surprised how high he is on this list. He is the fifth favorite to be fired.
Jason Garrett?
Nope. He's more likely to go first than Chuck Pagano is, who is 16-1.
Chip Kelly?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I found that interesting. 14-1 for Bill O'Brien to be the first coach fired.
How many coaches got fired last season?
Well, Philbin went early.
Philbin, Mike Pettine got fired. Wisenhut got fired. Tom Sula got fired.
Tom Sula, who shouldn't have even had a job in the first place.
Chip Kelly got fired.
Yep.
Lovie Smith got fired. Tom Coughlin got fired.
Well, Tom
Coughlin got
he's
fired.
He's gone. Either way, he's gone at the end of the season.
I think that's it. So 7 coaches last season. Over under that this season.
It's usually between 6 and 8, so 7's kind of the perfect number. I'll go under because some of these guys on this list that they have as favorites, I'm telling you, Gus Bradley can go 5-11, and they'll consider that progress.
Well, I don't know when Gus Bradley's contract ends, but you know they're cheap down there in Jacksonville. They ain't trying to pay a guy to leave.
No, and he's, I honestly think they can go 5-11, and people look at that and go, oh, they made progress. Next year, they'll make the playoffs. Pagano seems pretty safe to me.
Remarkably.
Yeah, because they just re-upped him. Rex, I think, is in danger. I think it's playoffs or bust for Rex. Tennessee, I have no idea what they're doing there, so I could see Malarkey fired. What about Dan Quinn, who's 16-1 in this?
Well.
It's kind of an interesting name. What if they're 7-9?
I mean, that's. I wouldn't say that it's impossible. I'd be surprised.
I think Jason Garrett's safe.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, if they haven't fired him by now, Chip Kelly, who knows? Jay Gruden could easily get canned if they tank. Chicago's gotten remarkably impatient, so John Fox, I think, could also be in danger at some point. I don't know about Sean Payton. I just don't think they'll ever pull the trigger on that.
It's crazy to me. And I have a feeling it's going to be bad for them, but they may not.
How about Todd Bowles at 40-1 as a long shot?
That is a pretty long shot. I could see that, though. I could see him getting canned.
They're impatient in New York, too. But I'm just trying to add up how many I think could be gone by the end of the year.
Like, who's a team that's got high expectations this year that you could easily see falling flat?
Well, at some point, isn't it possible Cincinnati takes a big step back? I could see that.
I mean, what about if, let's just say one of these teams.
Because almost all these guys are teams with no expectations.
Right. Let's say one of these teams, let me give you a couple team names and you tell me if this team goes 5-11, would their coach survive it?
Okay.
And obviously these are unlikely, but it's not impossible. If Cincinnati went 5-11, Marvin Lewis would be gone, right?
Yes.
What if Kansas City went 5-11? Andy Reid gone?
No.
He survives that.
I think he survives that. Because if they go 5-11, it's going to be a bunch of bad injuries.
What if John Harbaugh goes 5-11?
I think he gets one more year.
That's a pretty loyal franchise team.
Yeah, I would think he'd start next year, and if they started off like 3-6, then he'd probably get whacked.
They're kind of like Pittsburgh in that they want to hold on to their coaches for a long time. They give them a lot of leash, let them work things out. What if John Fox goes 5-11 in Chicago?
Yeah, they'll fire him. They're not patient there.
Yeah. What about? I wanted to say a couple of these other. What about Mike Zimmer?
I don't think they'll go 5-11, but
well, I don't think any of these teams will go 5-11. But if they
if they do, it's usually because of injuries and stuff. I think Mike Zimmer would get one more year because of what he did last year.
You know, another guy I might look at is a guy who could get fired, Adam Gase.
Yeah, well, it's Miami, and
I think they're going to be bad.
Nick says Bill O has gone 9-7 both years. Why would he get fired? These are just the odds, man. I think if the Osweiler experiment goes horribly awry, and they go 2-14,
it'd have to be complete.
But yeah, I think it would have
5-11 wouldn't get him fired.
5-11 would not get O'Brien fired. 3-13.
I don't know if that would.
Well, I guess it depends if it's JJ injured and Hopkins injured and everything else, and they go 3-13. I think he survives. I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think the guy should be anywhere in the top 10 on this list, knowing this franchise the way we do.
Yeah.
I think you're wasting money if you think Bill O'Brien's going to be the first coach fired.
Because much like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, sometimes this franchise seems to be in that category of loyal to a fault at times.
Yeah, and he's fifth favorite to be fired on this website.
What are you telling me, Jung? What do I got going on here? Tell you again about DraftKings. You heard us talking about them a lot today because they're back. They're back in Texas, DraftKings. And, you know, as you know, we love football. We know you love football. You know, you're following it every week. You're playing your year-long fantasy. And eventually that team is probably going to fall apart. 1 out of 12 will win a championship this year. That's my prediction, Fred. 1 out of every 12 will win a championship. If you're not one of those 12, hell, you might want to even supplement with daily fantasy, week-long fantasy football. Put all your knowledge to the test. Play for your shot at $1 million. The $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in just week one. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You play when you want, with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Renew old rivalries. You can challenge friends and family in a private league to prove you're the best. Or you can join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all around the country. Go to DraftKings.com now, choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use promo code Houston, and you'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code Houston to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. That's DraftKings.com.
ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 646 says Todd Bowles, 10 wins in his first year. He's not getting fired no matter what happens this year. That's the Jets, man. If he goes 3-13 and it's not because of a bunch of injuries, you really think they'd keep him?
No.
I don't know. I honestly don't. But I look at 40-1 and go, eh. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. And you know, we'll do some other fantasy segments. I don't want to overwhelm this with fantasy questions. Oh, this is a time of year where it's okay because most of them are pretty general. The one thing you want to avoid is getting into what should I do with this? And you know, I have this guy and this guy. So I think I don't even know if I can find a way where Bill O'Brien gets fired the more I think about it.
Yeah.
These guys don't fire people. Look at how bad it had. Kubiak should have been gone 2 years before. Look at how bad it had to get. You see this Todd Marinovich story?
No.
You didn't see this?
No, I didn't. I love a good Todd Marinovich story.
Okay. Well, this is a good one. Former Raiders and USC quarterback, who, by the way, looks terrible in this photo.
Shocker.
Todd Marinovich was arrested and cited for multiple offenses after being found naked and in possession of drugs. He was arrested in Irvine, California, after cops received reports about a naked man on a walking trail. They found him naked in a stranger's backyard. TMZ Sports says Marinovich was found with a brown bag that had meth and marijuana, as well as his ID. So at least he had his ID with him. He was arrested and cited for possession of a controlled substance, trespassing, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of marijuana. Apparently not public nudity. He lives in Irvine, has apparently really struggled with drugs, as you probably know. But, yeah, naked and with meth and weed.
Jeez. Well, so what's going to happen? I mean, we talking rehab? Are we talking jail?
Gotta be jailed, doesn't it? Although, how much money? I don't know how much they caught him with. I don't know. What did he ever really do to make a lot of money?
I mean, he's a first-round pick, but I can't imagine that, you know, he only played like 2 or 3 years. I can't imagine that he's got any left.
Peter asks, how does Vegas define fired in relation to coaches? I could see a bookie not paying out if a team claims the coach respond. No, it says first NFL coach to leave post, inclusive of dismissal, firing, resigning, or retirement.
Yeah.
All bets action through February 7th, 2017. So, there you have it. They have it spelled out for you. You got to wonder about the guy. I get being found in somebody's backyard passed out from drugs. Where does a naked thing come from?
Well, drugs make you get naked.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that.
Okay, I didn't know
that. The harder the drugs, the more likely you are to end up naked.
All right, so I'm going to blame it on the meth, not the weed.
Yeah, that's a meth thing, I'm pretty sure. Because as you know, like I said, last week I was way like overbaked on weed, and I didn't get naked.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten naked on weed, unless there was somebody else naked.
Right.
Just wandering around naked, no. So, people wanting to know how that the dudes in the 1 o'clock hour got the mayor and we didn't. I was told at about 12:40-something that if I wanted to get down here and record the mayor, I could. Between 1 and 2.
Yeah, and I was told a little before that the mayor was going to be here. So there was this thing with Elvin Hayes. It was they're celebrating the 40 years of UCLA Houston. And there was a last-minute thing where Elvin Hayes came in and Elvin Hayes came in with the mayor and did a little photo op, and he kind of spoke to a couple of media outlets, and I was told this morning.
Who runs our Instagram account?
Depends. Why?
They posted a picture of the mayor with Elvin Hayes and David Gao, and they put David Gao, and in quotes, they put CEO of ESPN.
Uh-oh.
Might be a little misleading.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. We've had a lot of social media snafus lately. I feel like we've got too many people in charge of that who have no idea what they're doing. It'd be nice if we had like one guy who actually knew what he was doing.
I think we have one person that actually monitors the Instagram account, and then, I'll have a talk with that person.
Yeah, I was going to say, then why is my wife texting me and saying, your Instagram account says that David Gao is the CEO of ESPN? If someone's there to monitor it, shouldn't they be monitoring it instead of my wife? She's not getting paid to do that, is she?
Yeah.
They should hire my wife to monitor our
As a matter of fact, I think that sounds like a good idea.
And the other... The
$10 problem, for every mistake she finds.
Yeah.
You can get rich off that.
For real. Yeah, in about a day, she'd retire.
10%, man. I'm your agent on this.
I would monitor it, except I can't...
You definitely have enough to do. I'm around here enough during the day. I see how busy you are. You don't have time to be dealing with that.
And usually when I'm on Instagram, it's either when I'm leaving for work, when I have some downtime, or when I'm off work, when I'm at home, and I have nothing to do, I'm on Instagram. But Yeah.
But are you on the station's Instagram or are you on your own?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I don't think this is something you need to be dealing with. Because I'm just a little insider here. John works his butt off. He's running around all the time in this place now. Used to have time. You'd go in to talk to him. He'd sit there and talk. And now he's just trying to get rid of you as fast as possible because right. he's got and it's got a thousand things. Maybe it's just me. He just wants to get rid of me. But he's got a thousand things to do. So, no, you don't need to be doing that.
Okay, I see it now.
And?
And he is the CEO of ESPN, apparently.
So he's got.
I'm just saying.
So he's bought ESPN from Disney. Is that it?
I guess so.
He probably could. They'll probably sell cheap right now, from what I understand. Okay, CEO of Gal Media.
That works.
Which is, of course, ESPN 97.5 is part of the Gal Media family.
Right.
Okay, the former editor in me is a little upset by this. That's a simple one. You need to get your boss's title right. If there's one guy you want to get right in this entire building, don't you think it's David Gal?
Yeah.
Sure, you screw up Jong's title or your title or my title. Who cares? All right. Well, glad she pointed that out. Mark wants to know if we can get Attorney General Paxson on and find out why he's a daily fantasy Nazi. I don't think it's...
I wish we could, but I hate him.
We've tried to get a bunch of these guys on that oppose the things that we're for, and we haven't been able to. I still think in most cases this is a money grab by the states so that they can regulate it. And frankly, there should be some taxes paid into the states if it's being played in certain states, which most people are okay with. I just think that Texas is long-term, enjoy it, man. Just get in there and play it while you can. That's the way I feel about it. Anyway, I did request, John, that you see if you could set something up with them while they were here.
So the person that handles them from day to day, I got his card, so I'm going to... This is not the same person that I was exchanging emails with. So, and he said he personally contact him and he'll set it up.
Okay. That's a step in the right direction.
It is. And it was kind of funny that it happened in middays that I was like, you know what? Granado and Salisbury is going to get the mayor. And we've been asking for the mayor for 6 months. And I told him this. And it's kind of funny. He's like, no. Just set it up and we'll get on with them.
All right. So who's it? All right. If this happens, you're going to have to give me the name of the other loser.
I don't have it on me. I got to.
Well, I'll just wait. We'll wait and see because this guy might be lying to us too.
We'll see.
Yeah. If he gets him on. I want to know who the other guy was who stiffed us.
That's what I want to know.
Because that's who it's on then. And now it's personal.
Okay.
Not really personal. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm going to make you nervous with all this, aren't I?
What's that?
Causing problems with the mayor's office.
No. You're all right.
What are they going to do to Jong? Jong doesn't care. He doesn't even live in Houston. What are they going to do to him?
That's true. So never mind.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN.
Jong, of all of us, can say piss off, mayor. He doesn't care about that.
You can too, can't you?
No.
Are you inside Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm on the edge, but I'm in there.
I hate to break it to you, especially anywhere almost north of the Woodlands. You're part of Houston.
Yeah.
They annexed that way. Well, only at Kingwood, right? I don't remember the exact border, but
I don't know.
I don't know
the next town up from me is Tomball. So,
but you vote in the election for mayor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies and school starting up again. Houston Can Academies need your help. It's a great, great school. They take in kids who have dropped out of other schools. These kids get a second chance. These are good kids. These are kids who had to get jobs or had other issues that made it impossible for them. Well, Houston Can Academies takes them in. They work around whatever that is. They need glasses. They get them those. They need transportation. They get them that. If they need to work around their job, they do that. And these kids, so many of them go on and graduate and do great things. And you probably met a few, maybe worked with a few, and realized, wow, this is somebody that might not have ever gotten there without the chance they got from Houston Can Academies. Well, you can help them get that chance. All you have to do is donate a vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's running. Doesn't matter what kind. Could be a motorcycle. Could be a truck. Could be a boat. They'll come and tow it. They'll take it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you live. If you're in Port Neches, they'll come all the way over there and tow it. And the cool thing is, you get a tax deduction for it. So in a few months, when you're filling out that tax form, you're going to feel so much better because you're going to be able to deduct it. So they tow it free of charge. They do all the paperwork, so you don't have to do anything. You get that tax deduction. If you donate today, Astros tickets, so you can watch your Astros down the stretch. That's what they'll do for you. What will you do for them? Give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
For this great land, so I thank you. From the bottom of my memory.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Behold the king, the king of kings. Your knees, dog. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We'll get back to your phone calls in a bit, but right now, you know what that music means. Time for our good friend, Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. What's going on today, Mr. King?
Yeah, I was just listening to that little cut from my man Kevin Sumlin. I need to give him a call. He sounds like he doesn't know who AJ Hoffman is.
I don't think he does.
We interviewed him one time when he was at UH, and he came in studio and stayed around for an hour. And it you would think after that he would know us. And I saw him like 2 days later, and just, who are you? So
No, I was thinking more of the. He didn't realize he's got a full-on Aggie hater in there.
I'm not like an Aggie hater. What are you talking about?
Well, Aggie lovers like me, you know, we're special. We have you in a special category.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm not much loved around those places either.
Yeah, listen.
But Sumlin is real cool, though. I'm looking forward to that relationship with the station. That should be it should be good.
Yeah, I am too.
Because they were non-existent elsewhere.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I love having, even though they're not going to like us a lot, I love having A&M fans here because those guys are rabid and they care about their team and they're going to listen. So, and by the way, he knows who I am now, so we're all good. Hey, I wanted to ask you about something because I know you love that practice football, especially those exhibitions. And and I'm sure you loved how dominant Jadeveon Clowney looked. Should he even be on the field for these practices?
He needs to be out there early. You play him like you play your superstar starters. And you can tell me all you want about he hadn't proved anything and he's not a superstar and blah, blah, blah. But you have to treat him like that because that's what you expect to get from him. You treat him like a scrub. All you're doing is risking injury. That just makes no sense. They got away with it the other night, but what point were you trying to prove? He's out there going against guys that, you know, he's going against Tony Hill. There's nothing against Tony. He's a local guy and went to UT and all that, but he's been in the league 10 years and has started one game. He's going against fringe players. What does he have to prove against fringe players? If he needs to get into shape, get his ass on a treadmill and save him for when it really counts.
So what have you liked that you've seen out of this team so far, and what are you concerned about?
The basic general thing that jumps out to me through two games, and again, these practice things really don't mean anything, is we know for a fact, and we haven't always known that, we know they're not a bad team. You know what I mean? We know that they are okay, you know, could be pretty good, and they're going to be in some games. We have to determine when they get in the real games against real teams and the real competition, can they win some of these 7-point games? And that'll turn the season from 6-10 to 10-6. And the concern, clearly, besides not knowing what the quarterback's going to do at crunch time and what he's going to do at first quarter time, actually, in games that will be close, is their offensive line is awful. It's one of the worst offensive lines in the league today. But they don't play any games today. When everybody comes back and they're healthy, they still might not be that good for a bit, but we'll see how it plays out. But if I were a fan, I'd certainly be concerned there. But there's nothing they can do about it. It's not like you can go out and find somebody that'll help much more than what you have. So they're going to have to coach around it probably.
Yeah, we've talked about the depth there. Some of the guys they had out there Saturday night, a couple of them shouldn't even be in the NFL, much less being your second or third string offensive lineman.
But that's the thing. You really don't have third stringers in the NFL anyway. So, you know, those guys, they won't be in the NFL. they just happen to be out there because it is what it is, and they are where they are. But, at least four guys that'll be on the roster in the rotation weren't out there the other night. So it's impossible to judge what they're made of. We do know that if they're going to have injury problems throughout the season, it's going to be a long year for that offensive line. And, you know, and that's one of the things that they hope, or you hope that speed can, you can get away with a bad offensive line when you got guys who don't have to go 5-6-7-8, 5-6-7-8, and they can pop one here and pop one there, and you rely on your defense to get the job done. That's a tough way to grind out a season, though, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's basically what the Broncos did last year. I mean, their offensive line wasn't that good. Their defense was fantastic. And then they had quarterbacks who just didn't make enough mistakes, and it worked. What's the difference between them and this Texans team other than that? I think they had a much better defense.
The Broncos defense scored points. You know, they scored points in, you know, six or seven games or whatever. They scored touchdowns. So they weren't just a good defense. They held people to no rushing yards, and they shut down the passing game, and they led the league in sacks, and they scored points. I mean, that wasn't just a really, really good defense. That's an all-time great defense. And that's, you know, I don't know if the Texans will have to be an all-time great defense. Well, to win the Super Bowl, they'll have to be extremely good, but their offense should be better than the Broncos' offense. I think they have better talent at plenty of spots than the Broncos had last year. But can that defense get there? And it goes back to your first point about Jadeveon Clowney. To move to that next level from where they were last year, you're going to need Jadeveon Clowney to step up and be one of those guys. I think their safety spot is not going to be good. And they got away with it last year. I'm not expecting them to be able to get away with it again. And, of course, they can't really afford many injuries on defense either. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But the defense is way better than the offense.
What are your thoughts on the way the offensive – I mean, obviously the offensive line's suffering through a lot of injuries, but what do you think we're at the end of the season, what do you think we'll have said about the offensive line?
I have no idea. I mean, it's not just a cop out. I mean, Dwayne Brown, yeah, I love him to death, but you know, he won't be as good as he ever was again. And it's just a matter of how average can he be, or can he get back to being above average? We don't know. Derek Newton, I don't think he's ever been anything more than average. He was so bad before that when he got to average, people were like, wow, this guy looking pretty good. So will he actually get back to average again? I don't know. And on and on and on down the line. And Tua Filo, he was the only, you know, projected starter who played the other day, and he was awful. He was getting beat. I mean, Nick Fairley was just having his way with him. And I don't know, I haven't seen much from Tua Filo except a flash play here or there, and you can't be an interior lineman and be a flash player when you're a second-round pick. So I don't know what we're going to say, but if I were a betting man, I'd bet at the end of the year we go, boy, they really need to draft some offensive linemen.
Maybe Dwayne Brown needs to eat some more of that Mexican meat.
That's not good.
Won't hurt
stuff.
None. He got a pass for it, right?
So yep, yep.
If you have a full-on out, I mean, he's got a doctor's note. So you're on IR right now, or the pup list. Go ahead with the wife and go down and, you know, get you some Mexican meat and come back and go, here's my note, remember?
Yeah, I can test positive all I want now.
Gives you superpowers.
Yeah. Well, I wanted us to ask you about the Texans calling out McClain on that Jadeveon Clowney tweet, which I thought was... I thought it was kind of, it was him being funny. There was nothing wrong with it. It's something guys say all the time. Why did the Texans overreact to that?
I don't know. I don't even know why they're that sensitive, especially in this town, the way they're treated in this town, and with John McClain, who gives these guys a lot of respect and covers them in a way that he's earned the right to take a crack at a guy who says, "Ooh, I'm not going to talk to you after a practice. Give me a break." You know, that's, yeah, he's supposed to take a fun shot at a guy, and it wasn't even that hard. And no, and there's a huge difference in taking a shot at a guy like that and making fun of a guy who's injured, you know, or, and he didn't do that. I didn't think it was that big of a deal at all. But I will say, you know, that these Texans will stand up for a teammate. In years past, they wouldn't have done that. And I think they're emboldened by their head coach who treats media that way, which is fine. I don't have a problem with it because they can come at me like that too. I'm still going to make my jokes and have my fun when it's there. But yeah, I don't think McClain deserved all of that. And it's feeding the trolls of people who want to, you know, take shots at him for the way he is and who he is. But you can find something better to go at him than that.
Well, one last thing here. So it looks like Tillman Fertitta is going to put $20 million into the basketball arena at UH. Where were you? I think Solomon Arena sounds a hell of a lot better.
That would be nice, but I'm not going to buy my name on the side of that sucker. And if I gave them $20 million, it would, you know what I would call it? The Hawthorne Pavilion, because that's the kind of guy I am.
I think you change it to Fine Hose Pavilion.
Well, I'd try that. They wouldn't accept it, but they would. U of H would hold themselves out for $20 million.
For $20 million, they'd name it whatever the hell you asked them to name it. So
I'd have some of them Usain Bolt holes up in there. Damn those cheerleaders. We could crank it up a little bit tonight, fellas.
All right, Jerome. Well, appreciate it, man. We look forward to talking to you again next week. And I still think Solomon Center sounds better. So we'll see.
Fertitta, what will they call it? That's the thing.
Fertitta Center appears to be what your news. Well, that's what Mark Berman's speculating. So
Fertitta Center. That doesn't, you know, I don't know. That just doesn't sound right.
I'd keep the Pavilion. That's kind of a cool sounding name. There's not a lot of pavilions anymore. I think, right. I'd keep that.
Yeah, I will.
Although that sounds awkward,
my
too.
My boss might not let me, but whenever I'm on TV, radio, and other places other than print, I'll be calling the Hawthorne. You know.
you got to get over that old school attitude, man. Once it changes, it changes.
No, keep it alive, Jerome.
That's not old school. It's the same damn building.
That's true.
You know, it would be different if it were a new building, and it would be different if it were a corporate entity and another corporation. You know, you go from Reliant to NRG or Compact to, you know, whatever. But no,
to Lakewood.
It's the name of the building. And the building wouldn't be there without Judge Roy Hoffman, period.
All right. You know. We got to go, bud. Appreciate the time.
All right. Later, fellas.
Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Put out my way, head first into the maze. I won't be broken. Never stop or hesitate. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The Rock the Mic finale is at Sherlock's Pub on Friday. Who will become the champ? Join us for the Blitz Live broadcast and the finale at Sherlock's on Westheimer, just off Beltway 8 West, between 4 until 7 to cheer on your favorites. And we'll actually start the competition at 5:45 this year after RJ Bell. So if you're a competitor, if you're one of the final eight, you need to be there before 5:30 at the latest. And knowing traffic in the city, you might want to plan on 5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Just to be safe. All right, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
I had a bunch of good gems today. I really did. And then somebody tweeted me this. I think it was Lamont. And I had to go with this. An erratic Ohio man.
Erect?
Erratic. Well, listen to the rest of it before you make that judgment.
All right.
Was acting like a gorilla and self-pleasuring on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
He's now facing a disorderly conduct charge.
Acting like a gorilla?
Yeah.
Is a crime?
Well.
Stop it.
Apparently.
And since when do gorillas masturbate publicly? I don't think that's fair to gorillas.
You've been to zoos, right?
I don't think that whole sentence is fair to gorillas. That's
but this is a man.
I know, but I just
he was doing two different things. It wasn't acting like a gorilla by masturbating on the sidewalk. It's acting like a gorilla and masturbate. Two separate things.
Right.
Two separate things.
Well, the acting like a gorilla is not criminal, in my opinion.
Well, sidewalk thing is. Responding to 911 calls about a pair of white males running around the lot, taking off their clothes. Apparently, taking off your clothes is a theme today. Warren City Police Department cops Friday morning encountered Timothy Cook, 32, who reportedly had been growling and punching the cement. I don't need a new euphemism of punching the cement. I can tell you that. He'd entered a state motor vehicle's office. Okay, I can understand why that might drive you crazy. And began waving his arms around. He then exited the building and then began on the sidewalk. When a cop subsequently approached him, he was sweating profusely and acting like a gorilla. He was squatting on all fours, punching the blacktop and jumping up and down, screaming non-coherently. He was detained without incident and placed into an ambulance due to his erratic behavior. They treated him for an apparent overdose, though police records do not indicate what drug or drugs he may have used.
All the drugs.
I think, yeah, every single drug.
Good for him. Was this Todd Marinovich?
Well, no, it wasn't because it was in Ohio.
This is a different incident.
In California, you just go in a backyard and pass out.
Right.
In Ohio, apparently, you jump around like a gorilla. At least that's... And I think the response to that on Twitter was, how do you know it's the difference between a gorilla and an orangutan?
I don't know.
Yeah. And so you're just saying gorilla? Is that fair to the gorilla?
Again. Well, whatever.
Anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. We've got plenty of good stuff left. A lot of Harambe jokes.
Harambe, his name got onto my walkout t-shirt.
He did. Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show. I should have said that is the most awesome walkout t-shirt I have seen yet.
Thank you.
So
I'm excited.
You should
about
sell
it.
Bunches of those.
And I tweeted it out what it'll look like. I'll have the link and they'll be available for sale tomorrow. So will my tickets. But I was so stoked about that shirt that I had to give a preview.
And guys, please quit calling for Tita Center the Teat.
Why not?
That's a terrible name.
That's a good name.
That is a terrible name. Come on. All right. We're going to take a break. This is new.
No, I've played it before.
You have it? Well, I must have gotten up on the break. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.